Welcome to Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. This is a mini-sode. If you're new to the program, this is a show where me and my friend, Mr. Emilio Sparks, talk about popular culture, the things we loved as kids, the things we love as adults, toys and comics and books and movies and fun things like that. We come out once a week, every Wednesday we drop. And this is a mini-sode. So I'm alone today, which is, I think, very fitting. So when I was a kid, one of my favorite book series was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark by Alvin Schwartz. And I thought about doing this mini-sode because a couple episodes ago, I did a news story with Amelia where we were talking about what happens when parents read to their children before bed. And I had said that my mother used to read me Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is probably a little inappropriate, even though they are books made for kids. So it got me thinking about it, and I went and I found my Scary Stories copies, and also Scary Stories 1, 2, and 3, and also another book by the same author called In a Dark, Dark Room and Other Scary Stories. And these stories still kind of chill me as a grown man. So I kind of want to tell you some of them. I'm not a big fan of podcasts that read to you because I don't have the concentration for that. Some people are really into audiobooks, but I always lose, you know, I can't pay attention to it. I can listen to a podcast because it's conversational. But when somebody reads to me, I just can't do it. All of these stories are very, very, very short. So I'm going to read you a couple of really short things and it won't be tedious. But first, let me tell you about how Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark came into my life. I was in third grade, and it was the day where the Scholastic Book Club came out. Now, if you don't know what that is a little pamphlet kind of magazine thing that they would hand you. This was way before the interwebs, kids. This is way before Amazon. And it was kids' books and other various educational kids' stuff that you would sort of look at it, and your teacher would tell you, circle it, and you'd circle it, and you bring home, and you force your mother to buy it for you. And then it would come eventually, and then you'd have something to read. In third grade, my teacher did reading time, and I remember distinctly, fourth grade. In fourth grade, my teacher did reading time, and I remember distinctly reading the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books during story time, and shitting my little pants sitting there in the room, not literally, figuratively. Although, one time I did pee my pants in fourth grade, not because I didn't have control, but I thought if I put a little napkin in my underwear and I just peed a little at a time, it would keep drying. But once I started peeing, I just peed the whole way and I just peed my pants. That's a personal story from me to you. Anyway, back to Scary Stories. I ordered Scary Stories from the Scholastic Book Club, which was amazing. I also, from the Scholastic Book Club, got this science book about anatomy, and it came with this skeleton, this little like skeleton, like a miniature skeleton that would like, it wasn't a spooky skeleton. It was a skeleton that would like hang in a, you know, not in a real science class, but like a science class in a movie. But I got it because I like spooky shit. As a little kid, I was very morbid. I was into HBO's Tales from the Crypt. There was Tales from the Crypt children's books that were based on the original comics, but much more toned down. I read those. I was into all sorts of scary shit. I watched all the Freddy Kruegers, all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, all the Friday 13th Jasons, all the Chuckies. I was super into it. So let me tell you a little bit about Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. The original book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, was released in 1981, 2 years before I was born. More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was released 1984. And then the third book, which is called Scary Stories 3, More Stories to Chill Your Bones, was released in 91, 10 years after the original book. Those titles don't really make a lot of sense. That's a little like the Rambo titles, where it's First Blood, and then First Blood 2 Rambo, and then Rambo 3, and then John Rambo. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, followed by More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, followed by Scary Stories 3, More Tales to Chill Your Bones. It doesn't quite fit. But anyway, I loved these books. They were written by this guy named Alvin Schwartz, who is dead now. He died actually in 1992. He was, I guess he was pretty old when he made it. This is from his Wikipedia page. After a stint in the Navy, Schwartz became interested in writing. He received a bachelor's degree from Colby College and a master's degree in journalism from Northwestern University. He reported for the Birmingham Press in 1951 to 1955. That was a rough time. During the professional writing career, he had been published by a variety of firms, including Lippincott, Bantam Books, HarperCollins. A series of his books on folklore for children were illustrated by Glenn Rounds, each from blah, 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 blah. So this guy was into folklore. That was his thing. And all the stories and scary stories of telling the dark, he didn't really write them. I should say, to say he wrote them, like in, you know, in some of, on the Scary Stories series, the cover says collected from folklore and retold by Alvin Schwartz. So he doesn't take credit for writing it. He takes credit for like sort of finding it and giving it to you. But I would argue that he does have a very interesting sort of terse, frank way. Even though his stories are all 2 pages long, 3 pages long, when I was a kid, there was something about how frank his address was that scared the shit out of me. It wasn't just that these books scared me. It was that they let me know that the world was a scary, awful place and to be terrified of things. So I'm looking now at the first Scary Stories. I should also say Scary Stories is really well known as a kid's book because it was often challenged and banned from being in libraries because of how terrifying they are. Although a lot of the credit for how scary they are, I think, belongs to Stephen Gammell, who did the illustrations for the original 3 Scary Stories books. If you're not familiar with the illustrations, go right now and Google Stephen Gammell Scary Stories, and you will shit your pants. It's all this sort of black and white, kind of sketchy, a little bit watercolory, you know, like the black sort of bleeds like bleeding ink. And it's all these very surreal, nightmarish images. The cover for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is a very famous image. It's a black and white painting. I don't know what it is. I don't know how he did it. Black and white sketch of, it looks like a farm. There's a farmhouse on the left, and on the right there are some tombstones. But then jutting out of the ground is a gigantic head that has a clown nose and teeth that are revealed and a corncob pipe. And it's smiling in this maniacal way. And it just always scared the shit out of me. So this is one of the first books I read by myself. I remember I had a friend in fourth grade named Lila. And me and Lila sat together and we read stuff. And I think she had this book too. And we would read it and then talk about it. It was really the first version of Andy Cohen's show, Watch What Happens. You know, like me and Lila would read a story in fourth grade and then talk about what happened. So the first book is dedicated to Dinah. There's a dedication page to Dinah. And the dedication page has a Gammell illustration of an empty old wheelchair. Terrifying. Who was Dinah? Is she dead? Is she a ghost? What a horrible... What the fuck? Okay, so the first story that really blew my mind is from the first book. It's called The Babysitter. It was 9 o'clock in the evening. Everybody was sitting on the couch in front of the TV. There were Richard, Brian, Jenny, and Doreen, the babysitter. The telephone rang. "Maybe it's your mother," said Doreen. She picked up the phone. Before she could say a word, a man laughed hysterically and hung up. "Who was it?" asked Richard. "Some nut," said Doreen. "What did I miss?" At 9:30, the telephone rang again. Doreen answered it, and the man who had called before... Sorry, it was the man who had called before. "I'll be there soon," he said, and laughed and hung up. "Who was it?" the children asked. "Some crazy person," she said. About 10 o'clock, the telephone rang again. Jenny got to it first. "Hello," she said. It was the same man. "One more hour," he said. and then he laughed and hung up. "He said one more hour. What did he mean?" asked Jenny. "Don't worry," said Doreen. "It's somebody fooling around." "I'm scared," said Jenny. About 10:30, the telephone rang once more. When Doreen picked it up, the man said, "Pretty soon now," and he laughed. "Why are you doing this?" screamed Doreen, and he hung up. "Was it that guy again?" asked Brian. "Yes," said Doreen. "I'm going to call the operator and complain." The operator told her to call back if it happened again, and she would trace the call. At 11 o'clock, the telephone rang again. By the way, you all know where this is going, right? You've seen this repeated a million times in movies and such. But anyway, remember, think of me in fourth grade. At 11 o'clock, the telephone rang again. Doreen answered it. "Very soon now," the man said, and he laughed and hung up. Doreen called the operator. Almost at once, she called back. "The person is calling from the telephone upstairs," she said. "You better leave. I'll get the police." Just then, the door upstairs opened. A man they had never seen before started down the stairs toward them. As they ran from the house, he was smiling in a very strange way. A few minutes later, the police found him, and they arrested him. So that's 3 pages long, and as a little fourth grader, I had no idea of, you know, a twist ending or anything like that. I mean, this is honestly, I don't know if it was the first story I read, but it's the earliest memory I have of reading something alone. And even though it was during the day, and even though I was reading it with my fourth grade friend Lila, the ending, the fact that it was in the house, scared the shit out of me. And you all know this story, right? In some ways, it's what the movie When a Stranger Calls is about. It's sort of what, in some ways, is what Scream is inspired from. The idea of using the technology of the phone and the very sort of real idea that the scary thing is coming from inside. It's not from outside, it's from inside. You can see in the very terse way that Schwartz writes, it adds a sort of terrifying bluntness to it. It's so bare that you as a reader can't help but add details. Like when the man comes downstairs, you know, all we see, all we hear described is that the man is smiling. But, you know, what does that mean? He's smiling in what way? What does he look like? Is he tall? Is he short? Is he old? It just says a man they've never seen before. And what was he doing in the room? What was his end game? It doesn't matter. It's just a little, you know, the point of folklore is it's like urban legends. The idea is, you know, somebody told somebody told somebody that somewhere in the world, people believe these stories and would tell them to each other as a way to scare each other, as a way of passing a moral, maybe as a way of teaching a younger generation to have certain fears of things. So it really does it a service to write the way he does because he allows you to flourish as much as you want in it. So that's my favorite story from the first book. And I nearly shat my pants when I read that first story, and then me and Lila and Andy Cohen sat around and we talked about how crazy it was, and there was a bartender there. It was weird. It was a weird fourth grade, but that was super fun story time. By the way, the Scary Stories series that is available now is no longer the series illustrated by Stephen Gammell. It's now illustrated by the guy who did the original illustrations for a Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events. And like, okay, he's cool. Brett Hellequist, you know, those are interesting, but he's not nearly as terrifying and morbid as Gammell. And I think it was probably, you know, for a reason. I think they said that they did it to celebrate its anniversary. But that's not how you celebrate an anniversary. You celebrate by just putting out the original. I think as a way to get it off some of the challenge books list, they thought maybe we'll soften it with the illustrations being a little bit more kid-friendly. So the second book, More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And by the way, what was cool about these books was every chapter had its own thing. Like, there was a chapter about scary... There was a chapter that was all about, like, out in the world and stories about death. And then there was a chapter that was all funny stories that would sort of have a twist ending that would make you laugh. There was a chapter with poems and songs. It was a really interesting gathering of folklore. So A story I really like from the second book is called The Bed by the Window. Three old men shared a room at the nursing home. Their room had only one window, but for them, it was the only link to the real world. Ted Konkin, who had been there the longest, had the bed next to the window. When Ted died, a man in the next bed, George Best, took his place, and the third man, Richard Green, took George's bed. Despite his illness, George was a cheerful man who spent his days describing the sights he could see from his bed. Pretty girls, a policeman on a horse, a traffic jam, a pizza parlor, a fire station, and other scenes of life outside. Richard loved to listen to George, but the more George talked about life outside, the more Richard wanted to see it for himself. Yet he knew only when George died would he have his chance. He wanted to look out that window so badly that one day he decided to kill George. He's going to die soon anyway, he told himself. What difference would it make? George had a bad heart. If he had a heart attack during the night and a nurse could not get to him right away, he had his pills he could take. He kept them in a bottle on top of the cabinet between his bed and Richard's. All Richard had to do was knock the bottle to the floor where George could not reach it. A few nights later, George died just as Richard had planned. So that's very kid story friendly. Like, he doesn't really kill him, but he kills him. The next morning, Richard was moved to the bed by the window. Now he would see for himself all the things outside that George had described. After the nurses left, Richard turned to the window and looked outside. But all he can see was a blank brick wall. Oh my God! Okay, here's what's fucked up about that story for a little kid. One, it's depressing. The idea that you end your life alone with strangers in a dark room and all your joy is coming from a window. That's something little kids don't think about. So that alone has a level of, like, mind fuck. Then the idea of betrayal, that these two guys are friends, but one of them decides to murder him just to make his life a little better. That's also mind-blowing for a kid. And then, of course, the end, which, you know, it's the blank wall, which is, again, so depressing. When I was a little kid, I used to think that I used to read it as he was crazy and it was all for naught because he wasn't really seeing anything. But when I thought about it later on, I thought maybe he wasn't crazy. Maybe he was just an awesome friend and he was trying to make his friend happy, so he was lying. Either way, what a fucked up story. Imagine little kids reading this shit. This is definitely why I'm such a fucked up person now. Okay, Scary Stories 3. Okay, this is a poem or a song from Scary Stories 3. And the illustration is of, it looks like a little baby corpse, but it's dripping and has a candle in its head and it's in like, it's in a dish. So like, it's like a dead baby candle. It's terrible. It's disgusting. And it actually has music on it, like music you could play with the piano. So I guess it's for, you know, you can actually play it. This song is called You May Be the Next. Did you ever think as a hearse goes by that you may be the next to die? Then wrap you up in a big white sheet from your head down to your feet. And the worms crawl in and the worms crawl out in your stomach and out your snout. And your eyes fall out and your teeth decay. And that is the end of a perfect day. That's it. Again, it's what's so impactful about this series is it's not just scary. It's not just boo, there's a ghost, or boo, there's a Frankenstein monster or a vampire. It's that things decay, that there is entropy in the world. And as a little kid, it made me think for the first time that I'll die. I'll get old and I'll wither and I'll die. And that's going to be a day that happens. I'm going to die one day. So I'm going to end this mini-sode with a reading from another book that's not part of that series, but it's also by Alvin Schwartz. It's called In a Dark, Dark Room and Other Scary Stories. It is illustrated by Dirk Zimmer, and it's much more playful illustrations. And it's actually part of a kid's book series called I Can Read! ! So this is a kid's book. By the way, the story I'm about to tell you haunts me to this day. It's called The Girl with the Green Ribbon. Once there was a girl named Jenny. She was like all other girls, except for one thing. She always wore a green ribbon around her neck. There was a boy named Alfred in her class. Alfred liked Jenny, and Jenny liked Alfred. One day he asked her, "Why do you wear that ribbon all the time?" "I cannot tell you," said Jenny. But Alfred kept asking, "Why do you wear it?" And Jenny would say, "It's not important." Jenny and Alfred grew up and fell in love, and one day they got married. After the wedding, Alfred said, "Now that we are married, you must tell me about the green ribbon." "You still must wait," said Jenny. "I will tell you when the right time comes." Years passed. Alfred and Jenny grew old. One day, Jenny became very sick. The doctor told her she was dying. Jenny called Alfred to her side. "Alfred," she said, "now I can tell you about the green ribbon. Untie it, and you will see why I could not tell you before." Slowly and carefully, Alfred untied the ribbon. And Jenny's head fell the fuck off. What? What? Jenny's head fell off. When I was a child, this destroyed me. It's about, first of all, again, it's like the first 10 minutes of Up. The idea that you've got a couple and one of them dies, that's sad. But it's got all this deeper shit in there about trust and, you know, being happy with your situation and not trying to seek information that you don't need. And just the simplicity of it. Like, you know, a little kid probably could guess something as simple as her head would fall off, but you just don't think it's going to happen. Her head was tied on by the green ribbon, and she wouldn't tell him. That's also fucking scary. The whole thing is, yeah, hopefully that haunts you as well. These books, if you're an adult, you can read these books literally in like 15 minutes. I like to read them sometimes around Halloween just to sort of get myself in the old spirit. They're really, really cool and exciting. I would totally recommend them. This has been Pop Culture Manchild. I'm Mike Bongiorno. Amanda Sparks is out on assignment. You can find Pop Culture Manchild everywhere that you can find podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher. Now we're on Google Play and Spotify. So that's new for us. You can find us everywhere. We've got plenty of episodes. We drop episodes every week. You can also follow Pop Culture Manchild on Instagram. Okay. As we say in every episode, go bye-bye.
He should be here by now. I wonder what's happened to my new helper.